Hello and happy new year, everyone. It's episode 5 of Spotlight Authors Edition. I hope everyone's having a great start to their year. How about you, Kente? Hi.
Hey, I'm having a great start to my year. Feel great. Things are going pretty well. I'm just happy and I'm looking forward to this episode.
All right.
You know, I want to first say that we started a brand new YouTube channel. It's all of our episodes. This is episode 5. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about the echo. And you can get all of our programs on there. It's a spot YouTube at Spotlight Authors Edition. And check us out. We need subscribers. We're trying to build it up and start and get it monetized. So,
all right.
So it's brand new. So there's like one subscriber, and that subscriber is me. So
we need to get on there. Subscribe myself.
Right. All right. So let's bring in our guest. All right. We are joined by the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented Casey Powell Thorpe. How are you doing?
Hi, Casey. Good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. And just a little background. It's been about a month or two ago, mm-hmm. I was at this wonderful event called the Leimert Park Book Fair. And we had the director of the Leimert Park Book Fair on our first show, Cynthia Exum. Mm-hmm. And now we are joined by a young lady who I met at the Leimert Park Book Fair. And we do have a connection.
Yes.
In this because a woman who is very dear to my heart is her auntie. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, Joyce Hogan.
Yeah.
Who, is like just this is a wonderful human being who I've known virtually all my life. And so if you're family to her, that kind of makes you family to me.
I think so. Hi, aww. Cousin. Wonderful.
So we're going to get into your background and whatnot.
Okay.
You know, we always like to start off, where are you from originally? What city?
Originally, I was born and raised in Inglewood. I'm from Inglewood, but I grew up in both Inglewood and LA, which is right there. So, mm-hmm. You know. My folks, though, I was the first person in my family, entire family, to ever be born in California. Everyone else is from Ohio, by way of southern states like Alabama. So that's where I'm from, Inglewood.
Now, later, we are going to get into your fabulous book.
Yes.
But before we get into it, you have singing in your background too, familial. Can you explain it to the audience?
Well, as I said, my folks are originally from Ohio, which is Canton, Ohio, where the mighty, mighty OJs started. At McKinley High School, where my mother and my father met. So William Powell Jr. is my father. He was one of the original OJs. And he and my mom went to school together along with the other OJs, which I consider them my uncles. And then once their career kind of started, took a long time because they were like doing that bebop stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, way back, like in the 60s, 50s, 60s. So once they finally kind of started getting off on their, you know, in their groove, then my mom and my dad had my sister. And they were married and they all moved to California because California was the place to be when it came to music and entertainment. So all the OJs, they drove out to Cali And they struggled until they didn't struggle anymore. Pretty much. And then my mom and dad had me.
Now, I love
I'm an OG California girl.
I love the OJs, as most people do. I mean, their music is so important and means so much to so many people. I'm not going to ask you your favorite OJ song.
Oh,
that'd be hard to choose.
I have one.
Oh, wait. Oh, you have one?
I do have one. I mean,
which one?
I mean, I could have a favorite song. Okay. You know, I can't say all of them because they're not. But my favorite OJ song is Sunshine. My dad also sang in that song. He unfortunately passed away in 77. So all their hits, though, he was on every single hit that they have. So the that song, I had that song as my wedding song for my
Nice.
So that way my dad was still at my wedding.
Yeah, I mean, I can just imagine growing up with music all through your house. And I'm sure you met a lot of people outside of the OJs who were important.
Yes.
Well, who are some of the people that maybe came around when you were growing up?
Well, they didn't come to our house very often because most of the time my dad was on the road, especially around that. So it was more, I would meet them at the concerts and backstage, stuff like that, but not often at our house. We had a couple of old timers, musicians, but they're, you know, no longer with us. But I mean, there wasn't a lot, honestly. The Whispers. they lived around the corner from us, though. So we met my mom and, you know, they were there. It wasn't a whole lot, though. Nope.
Okay. So did that inspire you to start singing?
Well, the concerts, hearing my dad and my family on the radio and being in their presence, it was fun and it was inspiring, but my mom was not trying to push me in that direction at all. Okay. She put me in acting as a child. So I did that commercials when I was a little girl. And then later, when I got older is when I started singing with my friends and stuff like that. So that was all on me. It really wasn't as much my family. It was, you know, seeing it was definitely a part of it, but and I believe it's in me naturally, but it was more just the fun of it. It was a lot of fun, and that was much later when I became a teenager.
So did you ever try your hand at songwriting?
Yes.
So how did it work?
I write songs now.
Mm-hmm.
But and I've only published one, but they're not songs that I think are for this time. I think I kind of missed that boat, you know, for the writing part, because the music today is not my kind of music.
Right.
You know, I like love songs and the songs again that I grew up with. I like those kind of songs, and today it's just, I don't know. What artist is singing real love songs without adding all kind of other words?
Now,
I don't know. That'd be hard to find.
It's hard. It's very hard. If it doesn't have sex in it or a couple bad words, or then it's not really selling, I guess. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I really feel like that speaks to our society. When you take love out of everyday conversation and in your music, right, and you replace it with, you know, just bump and grind, you know.
Right, that's all it is. A whole lot of bumping, grinding.
And you have as a society.
Other words, other non-choice words right now. But yeah, it's not attractive. I'll put it that way. It's attractive to maybe the younger crowd, but someone in my age group is not gonna listen to that.
Now, dance is another part of your background as well.
Yes, I've been a Soul Train dancer, and I did that. My sister and I both did that. As a matter of fact, she started that in the early 80s, and when she was over it, she brought me on, and I started dancing later, and that was during a lot of hip hop time, and the dancing had changed, and we were in dance groups. It was so much fun. I had a great time with my girlfriends. We were in a group called Ladies Legit, and we were the bomb.
Was it all fun with the girls, or did you all have your, you know?
Well, we had fun. It was all, well, no, you're right about that. There's some stuff. There's always some stuff, baby. So we had some stuff too. As a matter of fact, we're friends again, but there was one time where we fell out and it was due to some silly singing group stuff that, you know, we got past that. But thank God we did. It was really immature. But it was stuff that, you know, when you're young, you go through it and you learn.
Now, you said that your mother pushed you towards acting more so than singing. Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you first started acting?
Well, I did my first commercial at like 4, I believe. I was 4 years old. It was a Rodney Allen Rippy commercial with Jack in the Box. So that was fun. And then I did a lot of those kid shows, which was like, at the time it was Romper Room, and I was on the Bozo the Clown show, and yeah, a couple of little stuff. I don't know, kids just running around having fun though.
All right.
So I was good with that.
And also you participated in plays as well.
I do. I act now. That's what I love. I love acting and writing. So the acting, I like to do stage play performances. So I do that regularly now. You know, I'm married and I have 2 kids. So for a long time, I had to kind of step away from the entertainment, because I have to, you know, I have to raise my kids and I have to be mom and wife. So some people don't step away, but I did. I took about 25 years off. Wow. And, a long time. And when I was finally, my kids old enough, I was finally able to come back, and I'm having more fun than ever. I've done several plays, and the last one was Beachcomber, and it was an originally written play by a friend of mine, Nancy Lantis, and her husband, Theo Lantis, and it was a great play. So hopefully they do a sequel or something.
Was it easy coming back after 25 years? Was it, did you get right back into it, or what was your process?
Yes. The memory, no. Because now the lines, I'm like, oh boy, I gotta memorize this stuff. So it's coming back. It's slowly, you know, it's a muscle, so you gotta use it. And that's pretty much where I'm at now. Right now, I don't have to use my memory so much, because I am actually assistant directing the play right now.
So, oh, nice.
Yes, so that's even better, because I get to tell the other actors what to do.
You know, it's funny, because it's like we're on the same page, because I was just about to ask you, I never get how these actors can remember those lines. Like, And I write the line, so I don't even remember it. I mean, like, yeah. have that recall. And
It's like I say, it's a muscle. And if you don't use it, you lose it, like any other muscle. So you have to keep your chops up by reading or writing or acting. You know, it's all very connected. You know, I do both for that purpose, so I can memorize better and hopefully deliver better.
You know, because even like musicians or singers, I'd be like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know how they remember their own lyrics.
That is total muscle memory. They could probably do that in their sleep, especially if they're doing like the OJs. I know those songs and their dance moves, they've been doing them since they were kids.
Right.
So that right there is all muscle memory. So I believe that because they've been doing it so long, it's probably the thing that they will know more than anything else. If God forbid anything ever happened to their memory, they will remember those songs.
You know, it's funny. There used to be this show on A&E called Live by Request, where they would have a famous artist would perform, but they would take requests from the audience and take requests from people that called in. And so they go into it not knowing what they're going to be asked to sing, right?
I hope you're not trying to ask me to sing nothing.
No.
All right.
But I was like, wait a minute.
I remember there was an episode with David Bowie where David Bowie had to have teleprompters because he said, like, I'm not going to remember my own.
Wow. Even
a song like Fame, which was like one of his most popular ones.
Oh, wow.
He was looking down, reading it.
I can't believe that, really.
Yeah, this wasn't
a song he could probably just ad lib and right. You know.
But this wasn't like at the end of his life. This was like maybe 20 something years ago. So it was still kind of young. So I remember, but yeah.
That is funny. I would never imagine that would be a situation. I mean, maybe for some people, maybe if they don't sing the songs often. But, you know, if they're songs that they sing all the time and it's the same songs over,
seen artists who they were on stage and they forgot their own lyrics, but it's a real popular song. So they just go, you know.
That's the good part. The audience.
That's the way to do it. I was, I didn't see it, but someone told me just the other day, Chaka Khan forgot her lyrics on stage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm like, really? She could have called me. I would have sang her song.
I could do her. I mean, well, not well.
Nobody knows her song.
But then you could do it.
I know the lyrics at least.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right. So this show is about, we interview authors. We try to learn from them both. I'm a budding author. I haven't published my first book yet, but I'm getting closer into that, whereas Renee is published and she's an editor. So what we try to do with these conversations is get some understanding. Well, one, we want to promote authors, but we also want to get some understanding of their people's process and whatnot. So let's start off. When was it that you realized you wanted to start writing books?
Oh, I've been writing since I was young. Journaling. Since I was young. Stories, crazy stories, because my imagination, it goes there sometimes. So I'd say in my early teens is when I started writing, not realizing that I would be a writer one day, an author, but I just love to write crazy stories. And when I say crazy, I mean like my stories are out there. Not my children's stories, however. Right. I don't only write children's stories.
Okay. So since that was your, I love this thing, that's my thing. Since that was your first published book, what made you say this is the book that I want to start with or publish with?
Well, it's my first published book, not my first published ebook. So I had an ebook first. This one, yes, this one is the one that I do count as my first published book, mostly because it's the one that more people will be familiar with.
Okay.
And what was that question?
what made you, like, how did you know that was the first book to publish physically?
Well, I think that I just had an idea about children's, about entertainment. It must have been because I was back into the entertainment field myself. So this one was written actually in like 2020, but I didn't publish it until 2023 because again, I was going through the motions of what did I want to do first, which book I wanted to do first. And I have a series coming out. So this is one of 10. So I had to decide which one would I put out first. Okay. And I think this one was just more, it was closer to what people are familiar with about me, about the singing and my family. So I thought I'd use this book as a platform to start and launch my other books.
Now, I purchased a copy. And I love this beautiful cover. Talk about the artwork.
Well, it was actually a book that I got illustrated by a young lady in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. I forget how to say her name. It's very difficult, but she's with A&A Design, and she did most of it. She did the cover, and I told her, you have to give her directions. You had to give her very specific directions and instructions on what you were looking for, and she kept trying until she found what I wanted. But when it comes to people, and this is just for information, if you're using something like Fiverr and you go with someone in another country, there is going to be a language barrier. And that can sometimes postpone your product you're trying to do. And that's what it did, exactly. I still can go to Fiverr for my illustrations, but I have to really scrutinize now. When you talk to the people, you got to ask them questions about understanding the language and making sure that you guys can communicate. You don't want to just rush into it, because if you can't communicate with them, you're going to keep going back and forth and back and forth. Right. And that's a waste of time. So
I used to be a Fiverr fanatic. When I first discovered Fiverr years ago, I think I had everything done on Fiverr.
I was always nervous using Fiverr.
Fiverr's cool. I love it. But you got to find the right people and get a team and work at that the way you want it. Make sure that you are in charge and in control of what your product is going to be. Because a lot of people get on and they're artists or author and they want a book and they just say, here's my manuscript, create a book, give me pictures in it. You can't do that. You have to be more specific. You got to give them an idea of what you want, because otherwise you're going to keep getting something else that's not what you really thought, not what you wanted. So I did, however, use some other platform, which is Canva. And I created a lot of my own background and pictures in the book from Canva stock and clip art. So if she can't do it for you, you kind of get in there and do it yourself.
Right.
Oh, and look what I got. Don't
be oh, you got a signed copy?
I can sign copies. All you got to do is get in touch with me. I will mail you a signed copy.
Now, let me, do you mind if I just show the first page?
Oh, not at all.
All right. So, here we go. Look at that. Look how beautiful this is. Oh, my hand.
Yeah. That's a lot of people think that that's me as the little girl. Mm-hmm. And my mom and my big sister. And it was kind of modeled after that. But it's not necessarily us. It could be anybody.
So what have you learned about yourself, even writing the children's book, what have, as an author?
Well, I think that I've learned, as far as about me personally, mm-hmm. I'm very sentimental. Okay. I'm nostalgic. Mm-hmm. I like things in my past. I enjoyed my childhood. And I still have those same friends that I had when I was a little girl. So I love interacting with them. I can be very silly. And I get to be that way on my in my books, in my writing.
There's something I want to... Oh, here it is. I like this one, too.
Yes.
It's so nice, yeah.
Yeah. That's me and my two besties.
Aww.
We were actually on my rooftop in my where we lived in the house that we lived in. It had a flat garage rooftop, and that was in the front of the house where the house was kind of in the back. It was a ranch style house. So some days we would get up on the roof and we start singing and dancing. We start singing and dancing, and the cars would be passing by and waving, and we wave and we're still dancing and singing. Yeah, we did that quite often. We made up songs just off the tops of our heads, and we still sing those songs. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun as kids. We were really, really silly.
Yeah. So let's talk about the main character. What's the main character's name?
Melody Mariah Harmony King.
Well, I love that.
And she loves to sing, and that's her thing.
How would you describe her personality and her?
Very outgoing and self-motivated, not shy at all. She is striving and wants to meet her goals, so she does not worry about people talking about her or laughing at her or saying, oh, you'll never make it, because she has a plan. And her mindset is saying, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to do this. And that's what I love to do. So I'm going to do it.
Now, what's her age?
She's about 8, 9 years old.
Okay. Now, you said that she's kind of modeled after you somewhat. Okay. Do you think the 9-year-old version of yourself would have got into it?
Oh, yeah. I wish I had that book when I was 9 years old.
Aww.
Because I think that it would have really pushed me to continue and pursue the things that I wanted to do earlier in my life. I would have stuck it out longer, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you have someone that inspired you? Like, I had like a third grade teacher. Was there a teacher or someone that you always think about?
I guess it would have been my Well, my, like I said, my family, they're and I'm not talking about the OJs now. I'm talking about my family in Ohio. They are Kojic Church, and they sing all day long, all night long. And that is when I would go visit, we'd be in church from dusk till dawn and back again the next morning. I would see them and hear them, and I loved it. I loved hearing them sing. So that was a big part of my inspiration. Mm-hmm. I think that their confidence, it made me feel like, wow, you know, my family, they're great. You know, they're all wonderful, wonderful singers. So it helps build your confidence, but at the same time, when you're doing it and you're by yourself, it's a little, because now you're compared, you know, and I don't want to be compared to them. So I said, well, I'm going to step over here into the acting or the dancing, you know, they can sing, let them do that.
Now, would you say that this book is for, mainly for girls, or would boys get value out of it as well?
I hope so. We all know that boys can sing too. So I would hope that they would pick it up and read it, because it's not just for girls. And I'm glad you said that, because I have, like I said, a series that I'm working on, and for boys and girls, you know, and I would love for all children to be inspired by my books, and hopefully they will learn that, you know, you gotta, no matter what, you gotta just keep going and go for it, you know.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, well, I love the cover, because, you know, I can say she looks like me. So, how important was that for that to be like the face of your cover?
Oh, that was the most important. Because again, like you just said, we need more books that have us on the face of the cover. Because I mean, there's a lot more now today than there were when I was a kid. As a matter of fact, I don't recall any when I was a kid.
So
this was the most important part aspect of my books. Now, I'm not saying that all my books will all have people of color on the front cover, because I'm inspired to do diversity. You know, I like the diversity of children and different people, but every single book will be black people in it somewhere. They'll be in it on it. So that's for sure. That is never going to change. So.
All right. You know, when we talked before, I didn't ask you this question, but could you see maybe a cartoon or even live action version of this character and the story?
Yes, I would be hopeful, and so I'm prayerful for that. I'm hoping that can be a reality, as well as, like I said, the other books and other characters. And
this could be a musical.
Yeah, chicken sang.
Well, I would love it. So you want to help stuff? I can help write it and direct it. You can help produce it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, if they can make, what was it? What did you see the other day? Frozen?
Frozen.
They can make that into a musical.
That's right. Yeah. And like I was just saying, Color Purple is a musical now. So, hey.
They can make that into a
musical. You can do anything.
That's not an uplifting story. So
that's what I'm saying. You can make that a musical. Right. Anything a musical.
Right. I mean, what's next? Training Day. The musical.
Oh wow!
Right.
That would be interesting.
Wait, they're gonna do the singing version of King Kong Ain't Got Nothing On Me.
Oh no!
You never know. I wouldn't put it past anybody.
Yeah, that's true. You never know.
We're like, Denzel reprises his role on Broadway.
On Broadway.
As officer. And
you know, if anyone can do it, he can. He really can.
Yeah.
fellow. He could do anything.
Right.
So where are we going next? Because I don't know if I can say it, but you have the next iteration. Is that something you can say on the show?
About what?
The next iteration of the series.
Oh, well, not yet, because it is in the process. You're going to just have to have me back on the show.
Oh, I like because, that.
Yeah, because I have maybe every book. Every book I'll come back, because honestly, I'm trying to get two knocked out right now. And they're the manuscripts are done. But again, illustration, that's the thing. You know, I'm not an artist. I can dabble on some stuff on Canva, but what I want is not on Canva.
Well, you know what? Let me pitch you some ideas.
Please.
All right. How about I like to cook. That's my look.
Okay, kind of. I do have one of those.
I like to paint. Ain't that quaint?
Okay, I like that one. I love it. And,
let's see. I love to fight.
No.
I know that ain't right. I love to fight. That ain't right. No. But I hear you. And you're kind of going in the path of what I got going on, but not that one.
You're almost.
So going forward, besides,
I got one. I got one.
Uh-oh.
But we're not going to use it.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. For your I like to fight with all my might.
There we go. I like that. That's pretty good. Okay,
I like that.
Okay, you can have that one.
or when something ain't right, I like to fight.
Oh, no.
All right. That
way. I'm with it.
On and on. Besides the books in this series, are there any other books we should be on the lookout for?
Well, I do have another one. It's a photo book. It's not, it doesn't have any, not a lot of content, but inspirational photo book is what it is.
Yeah, okay.
And it's for dancers. That one should be out any day, like immediately. Should have been out, but Amazon. So, So I'm waiting for that to pop up any day now, and be on the lookout. It's called Dance Like No One Is Watching, But You Know That They Are.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, you know what? It's an ongoing thing on Indie Radio. Anytime when someone comes on any of my programs who is a dancer, it's widely known that I'm a terrible dancer. And I always ask, can you take a terrible dancer such as I and make me at least decent?
I think I can do it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, there'd be the way I do it would be choreographed. I'd have to create you a move or two or three, put them together, and that would be your move all the time.
And
that's all you do. You don't do anything outside that box. I have to do that for my husband.
Oh, okay.
So he has a couple of cool moves.
Okay.
But those are the only
stick cool to the program.
he's in this box right
don't
here.
Don't explore.
But you didn't fall in love with him.
I said that.
You didn't fall in love with him for his
dance. Two step.
Not at all. Not at all.
He said no.
But he doesn't realize that, he only has three.
He
moves.
Dances like no one's watching, even though they are.
Right. Totally inspired by him.
Well, that's beautiful. Okay, so any plays that we should be on the lookout for right now? And how can we see your stuff?
Well, the play that I'm working on now, which is the one that I am assistant director to, it is called Rev, R-E-V. And you can see it in Santa Clarita at Curtain Call. It's a theater in Canyon Country. And it's a small, quaint theater, but it's only a cast of three very powerful actresses. Mm-hmm. And the story is so riveting. You have to watch it. You have to come see it to really like, whoa, you're gonna laugh, you're gonna cry, you're gonna, it's all kind of stuff. So it's one of these stories that keeps you intrigued and motivated to watch it. So
how long is it gonna be running?
It's only gonna be, well, right now we're saying 3 days. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is a February 2nd, February 3rd, and 4th. However, if we get a bunch of people that love it, we could do it the following weekend.
You know what? Okay, if that happens. all right, so that weekend for me, I'm actually going to be with your aunt.
Okay.
At the third, you know, we're going to be doing the
book. It's another book fair thing.
But the following weekend.
Yes, me too. But I don't think I'll be available.
I think the following weekend. I think Renee may be out here then. Oh. So we can catch it together. So.
I would love to check it out,
guys. Yeah. There. You can get a ticket on Eventbrite. It's called Rev. You can go to Eventbrite and see them. And the very reasonable tickets. Everything is wonderful here in Santa Clarita. You'll love it. So come on down.
Yeah. You know, let me, if you can text me the info, I'll put it out for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I will. And definitely.
If I'm able to, I will come and check it out.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, all right, so how can people get in contact with you either in social media?
Well, I have a author's website, and it's called, my company is called Beyond a Dream Publishing. So you can go to beyondadreambooks.com and you can get in touch with me there. Or you can go to Facebook, Beyond a Dream Publishing, and join my page there. I'm building that up too, so it's humble. It's a very humble page. It's growing. And other than that, I guess you can contact me through my regular Facebook page, which is Casey Powell Thorpes, and hopefully we can be friends.
All right.
So, Renee, do you have anything to announce to the people? How are we doing on your book?
Almost there. So, children's book number 3 is almost ready.
Oh, awesome. Almost okay. Done, yeah.
So, finishing up a few illustrations.
Are you doing it on Amazon?
It will be. Yes.
Amazon? Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So.
And if you
Which
pay
is where little, you can find my book on Amazon.
All right.
And if you pay her a little bit more, she will come to your house and read it to you.
I will. Yeah. I'll be in.
I thought you were talking to me because I might come to yours and read it to you.
we'll do it together.
That's right.
And you can get me at Kente F on Twitter and Kente Ferguson on Instagram. And of course, our brand new YouTube page that just came out today. You get all of our programs with this show. And it is Spotlight Authors Edition at YouTube. Make sure you guys subscribe. Right now we have one subscriber because we just launched it.
So, two.
All right.
Three.
All right. That's how you build an empire. That's all right. Brick by brick. So, but I would, you know, hopefully we'll have you on when you have your next book and we can get out to Santa Clarita and check it out.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Wonderful. I would love to see you guys here.
And everybody have a great weekend. It's a 3-day weekend.
Yes.
MLK weekend. Yeah.
That's right. Going to be at the. We have a park that we go to, Central Park, and I'm going to be doing the walk.
All right.
Okay. Nice.
For Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
All right. With that said, you guys have a great weekend. God bless you.
Bye.